I want to say a welcome to those who are watching this message on YouTube or on the Facebook. And thank you for being with us here in the auditorium today. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 2 and 3. Now, Ecclesiastes is right after the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is right after the book of Psalms. So if you can find Psalms, Proverbs, and then turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 2. And here's what the Bible, the Word of God, says to us. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. The Bible clearly admonishes all of us to let our words be few. Now, believe me, there's more than one good reason why we need to heed this counsel of God's Word and why we need to do it beginning right now. Folks, I am thoroughly convinced that we simply do not understand the impact that spoken words have on the world in general and on our lives and on the lives of others around us in particular. If we did, we would say a lot less than we normally do. And when we did speak, we would be a lot more careful about what we have to say. How many times have you made the comment or heard the comment, "Well, they were only words"? There's no such thing as only words. Words are alive. Words are active. Words set tremendous effects into motion. Words energize potential into reality. Words are powerful. The only sin declared to be an unpardonable sin in the Word of God has to do with the speaking of words, and that is using words to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. The Bible plainly teaches what we've also learned from our own personal experiences. Spoken words can create or destroy. Spoken words can heal or hurt. Spoken words can bless or they can curse. Yes, spoken words release dynamite power. And because they do, God takes our words very seriously. In fact, the words you and I speak are so powerful that the Lord Jesus Christ said our words will either justify us or condemn us before Holy God. Now, let's consider the power of spoken words to create or destroy. And let's turn to Genesis, the book of beginnings, chapter 1. The power of spoken words to create or to destroy. And let's see how God created all that He created. Look at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Verse 6, then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Verse 9, then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." Verse 11, then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. Then verses 14 and 15. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then look at verse 20. And God said, He said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. Then verse 24. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And then, verse 26 and 27, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the seas, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. And let me just say, that's the two people that God created. All these people running around, I'm this, I'm that. No, you're either a male or a female created by God. Now, thank you. The point is this. The point is, everything that God created, He simply spoke it into existence. God said it, and it was so. Now, when God created man, He gave man a capacity that none of His other creations possess, and that is the ability to speak. Just as God speaks and sets in motion a chain reaction in nature, something profound happens when we speak, folks. When we take our thoughts and crystallize them into words, the words that come out of our mouths have more influence than we can possibly comprehend. Let's turn over to James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse 6. And then I want you to keep your Bibles open to James chapter 3, because we're going to come back a little bit later. In James chapter 3, the Bible has some sobering and disturbing things to say about the spiritual anatomy of the human tongue. One thing that James 3 says that is relevant to what I've already been saying is this. Verse 6 in James chapter 3. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. What does the tongue do? The tongue sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Now, while we may not understand all that that verse means, we need to believe it. Spoken words have a mammoth impact on the basic metabolism of the world. We need to believe that when we speak, it's not only words that come out of our mouths, but power is being released. Power to create or power to destroy. Now, when we speak, there is a supernatural pickup on what's being said. If what is spoken falls within the realm of being beneficial to the devil and his purposes of destruction, then our words are supernaturally empowered and employed by demonic forces to do the devil's will. On the other hand, if what we speak is in line with the Word of God and God's purposes, our words are supernaturally empowered and employed by the forces of heaven to carry out God's will. So, my friend, I want to ask you this question. When you consider the basic pattern of your speech, the basic pattern which characterizes how you talk day by day, is the way you talk more positive and creative, or is it more negative and destructive? The power of our words to create or destroy ought to drive every one of us to our knees as Christians. We ought to cry out as the psalmist did. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. As I've already said, there's also the power of spoken words to heal or to hurt. Unfortunately, I believe that there is more hurt released by spoken words than healing. And that is because ungodly man is so sinful and so self-centered. Well, is there any way to measure the full extent of the hurt that spoken words have caused and are causing in lives across this world? I personally don't believe there is. It would be completely impossible to calculate the extent of the horrible hurt that has resulted from words which should have never been spoken. Wars of words have ignited conflicts between nations, and millions have lost their lives. Words have devastated marriages and split up families. Words have created disunity and havoc in churches. Words have separated friends and annihilated relationships between loved ones. Words have caused breakups and they've caused breakdowns. Words have embittered. Yes, words have been the culprit which too often has caused the hurt of pain time and time again. And listen, none of us is immune from their savage power. I mean, words have hurt you before, haven't they? Sure they have. They've hurt me also. No one, listen, no one has escaped unscathed from the damage that words can do. And God forgive us, there have been more times than there should have been when our words have hurt others. When we were children, we used to like to say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Oh, what a lesson we've learned over all the years that we've lived. For it is words that hurt us most of all. Bones will mend, but words are never totally forgotten. Even when a relationship has been restored that has been destroyed by words, the chances are that it will never quite be exactly the same apart from the miraculous grace of God. Those of us who are Christians ought never to be in the business of disseminating hurting words. We ought to be speaking healing words. We ought to be speaking words of affirmation rather than words of accusation. We ought to be speaking words that build up rather than words that tear down. Now, we know the Bible says that we are to do unto others that which we want them to do unto us. And it's also true to say we should speak to others like we want them to speak to us. I mean, if we want to hear healing words instead of hurting words, we need to speak healing words instead of hurting words. In Proverbs 16:24, the Bible says, pleasant words are honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. My Christian friends, we may not realize it, but we come in contact with hurting people every day. They desperately need to hear an encouraging word. They desperately need to hear a healing word. So let's not miss the opportunity to be a blessing to their lives. Proverbs 12:25, the Bible says, anxiety in the heart of man weighs it down, but a kind word makes it glad. We can often heal a hurt in someone's life with a simple word of kindness. There's another power I've already mentioned with respect to words we speak. There is the power of spoken words to bless or to curse. Now, let's go back to the third chapter of James and see what the Bible has to say about the ability of words to either bless or to curse. Look at verse 8 here in James 3. But no man can tame the tongue. Well, that means there's only one person who can, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. No man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Then verse 9. With it, listen to this, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. In other words, we use our tongues to speak words which bless God. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And at the same time, we turn right around and use our tongues to speak words that curse men who are made in the likeness of God. Verse 10, one out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Verse 11, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? No. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? No. Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. The conclusion is clear. Only one kind of words should ever come out of the mouth of a child of God, and it's certainly not words of cursing. And curse in this case, it's not talking about using filthy, ungodly, gutter language. And certainly, no Christian should ever use filthy language. It's not taking God's name in vain, which is so fashionable in our society today. Curse, to curse someone, means to place a hex on their lives. What has been described as a imposed point of imprisonment, putting someone under bondage by speaking to them or about them in an ungodly way. To put it another way, words that curse are words which will bring a person into spiritual bondage. And there's simply no way of telling how many people are currently bound up in their lives by some curse which was placed on them at some time by the power of spoken words. Words either spoken to them directly or words spoken about them to someone else. Words spoken directly. You'll never amount to anything. You're just plain stupid. You never do anything right. You're no good and you will never be. And the list goes on ad nauseum. Well, there are multitudes who need to be set free from the curses that they've been placed on their lives by the power of the blood of Jesus. They need to be set free from a terrible load of rejection that they bear. Rejection which is rooted in words of cursing spoken against them at some time or another. I know that to be true because over my years of counseling, I found rejection to be present in so many lives, and it's been traced back to what was said to them as children when they were growing up or at some other time. Now let me tell you the way I believe it works. When you and I speak critical or bitter words about other people, there are demons that are all around, and they're ready to convey what's been said to the devil. Now, our words become ammunition in the hands of Satan. He throws our words in the face of our Heavenly Father. He accuses God and he accuses his children. Some children you have, God. Look at the way they talk about each other. And then he moves against the individual who has been cursed by what's been said. He says this to his demonic forces. His demonic forces. Listen, you've got some good material to work with based on spoken words. Use those critical, bitter words to bind that person up who's been spoken about. If he hears about what's been said, whisper the lie to his mind. Well, it's the truth. Accuse him. Tell him it's the truth. And if it's useful to the cause, spread what has been said around to everyone that you can find. Let everybody who is weak enough to get in on gossiping and criticizing so that others can be enlisted to strengthen the cause. Well, there's not a person listening to this message who stands guiltless in the matter of cursing the lives of other people. I'm not just talking about you. I told somebody, when I point a finger at someone, I got a thumb pointing at me. Folks, God forgive us. We've all done it. We've cursed others based on something we've either said to them or said about them. And in all probability, there is not an individual who is viewing this message, listening to it here in this auditorium, who has not experienced the effects of a curse imposed by someone else through the power of spoken words. And there are two actions that we must take. In the first place, we need to be certain that any curse that we placed on another person has been broken. We can often do that simply by praying, Father, forgive me for those unkind words and break the curse that I placed on that person's life. And I want to say to you, well, Pastor, I don't know if I've had any curses. Well, ask the Lord to show you. He'll speak to your heart. He'll tell you. And then ask Him to forgive you. But I want to say this. There are some curses that will never be totally broken until restitution is made verbally. By that I mean that God may require you to go to the other person and say to that person, I didn't realize I'd put a curse on you by the words that I've spoken, but the Holy Spirit has convicted me that I needed to come and say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Now, with regard to curses that have been imposed on those of us who are Christians, we need to ask the Lord Jesus to break them. And we need to ask Him to do it by the power of His blood. And then we need to inform the devil of this truth. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Every one of us need once and for all to be done with speaking words that bind up the lives of others. And we need to be sure, by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, we keep our hearts so pure and so clean before the Lord that nothing will come out of our mouths except words that bless. Well, the thought that I can bless you and you can bless me, that we can bless one another by the words we speak, is an exciting thought indeed. Now, as I said at the beginning of this message, Holy God takes our words very seriously. Because He does, there is the power of spoken words to justify us or to condemn us. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 37. And hear the words of Jesus to every one of us individually. For by your words you will be justified. And by your words you will be condemned. Now, why is that true? Well, it has to do with a person's heart. The words that come out of your mouth and my mouth reveal the truth about the spiritual condition of our hearts. And then in verse 35, look back, Jesus said, a good man out of good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So the real issue is the heart of an individual. Change the heart, and here's what will happen. The way of speaking will change. And it is Jesus who is the mighty heart changer. Now, if you have never received Him, whether you're here in the auditorium, you've never trusted Him as Lord and Savior, or you're viewing this message wherever you are in the world today, if you will repent, which means turn from sin as a way of life, and turn to Him and ask Him to come into your heart, Jesus will change your life forever. You will act differently, you will think differently, and you will speak differently. And although you'll never be perfect in this world, welcome to the human race, none of us ever will, you will discover that when you falter and when you fail, when your words betray the fact that your heart has become cold and you've broken fellowship with your Heavenly Father, the Lord will restore you when you repent and seek His forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, one other point must be made to every child of God who's listening to this message. Christian, when Jesus said what is recorded in Matthew 12, He made this statement in verse 36. Listen closely. But I say unto you, that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Now, an idle word is not necessarily an evil word or a bad word. It is a word that is ineffective. It is a word that is useless and accomplishes no good purpose. It is a word that does not minister life or power. And I don't think there's any doubt that more idle words are spoken in this world on a daily basis than any other kind. Certainly more than those that are inspired by God and bring glory to His holy name. Now, I can't speak for you, but it is a fearful thing for me to contemplate that I must answer to God, answer to the Lord, for every idle word that I've ever spoken. So let's not wait to do something about idle, useless words. Let's ask the Lord to teach us to do this. Lord, teach me to speak only when I'm spoken through. Teach me to speak as You speak through me in accordance with Your will. Let's judge ourselves, and then God will not have to judge us. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few, for a dream comes through much activity, and the fool's voice is known by his many words. Let's stand together and bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And I say to those of you in the auditorium and those of you watching this message, wherever you are, that Jesus Christ is ready to come into your heart and to change your life. And what you must do is open the door to your heart and invite Him to come in. So pray this simple prayer with me. These words, dear Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. I know that I've sinned in the sight of Holy God many, many times. But right here, right now, I repent. I turn from sin and I turn to You. Jesus, I open the door to my heart. Come into my heart. Forgive me for all my sins. Jesus, from this day forth, by your grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will live for you as the Lord of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for taking my place on the cross of Calvary and paying the penalty for all of my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart and giving me the gift of eternal life. I am now yours, and you are now mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer, the Lord heard you, and you have just experienced being born again. Now, if you're watching this message and you prayed, I want to urge you to find a gospel-preaching, Bible-believing church that walks with God and follow the Lord in believer's baptism, which is the first act of obedience to a new Christian. If you're here, I'm going to step down in a moment and give you the opportunity to come forward. Now, it may be that you need to move your membership. God said, this is where I want you to serve Him. Or you may just need to come forward and say, Pastor, I need to pray with you about something, whatever the need. Let me get down and then we'll do our invitation.